Welcome to another edition of So Loved, the radio ministry of Cummings Park Church in beautiful Menlo Park, California. Cummings Park is a word-based church that is family-oriented, God-loving, and people-loving. For more, visit their website at cummingsparkchurch.com. Now, with today's message, here is your teacher for So Loved, the senior pastor at Cummings Park Church, Memphis Lachesin.
Let's go ahead and begin in our scripture that we read every Sunday, John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. How many of you all have been walking in love? Raise your hand. Amen. If you haven't, just keep working on it. Amen. Keep working on it. But of course, love is, as I believe, the most powerful force, the most powerful characteristic. And it's not just something of what God has, but it's who He is. And the Bible says that love is God. And so it's something that has to become a life practice for us, walking in love. And I'll tell you, when you come across someone that is doing you wrong, they've stabbed you in the back, they've betrayed you, at that moment, that's when your love is going to be tested, at that moment. And this could be an enemy, but we have to continue to love them the same way that Jesus has loved us. And so let's go ahead and read it. Verse 34, let's read this together in unison. Ready? Read. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And so Jesus commands us to love one another as He has loved us. And so your love for someone else or your love for one another is only going to be as strong and as clear as your understanding for His love toward you. And so to the degree that you understand that God loves you will be the degree that you're able to love other people. It becomes very vital, very important that we understand His love for us. And I heard something this past week that just really sat true with me. Even in our Wednesday night Bible studies with our men's fellowship, one of the brothers there repeated this back to me and felt that it was something that has really made an impact in his life. And he said that in order for me to really see what God wants to do in my life, I have to understand that He loves me. I have to understand that. And really, I believe every manifestation that we are looking for in our lives, the things that we're believing for in our lives, the things that we're trusting God for, we have to understand that He loves us in order to really see that happen. We have to believe that. You have to believe that. And the way that love and grace works is that through understanding that God loves me, then you know what? He's going to have mercy. He's going to have grace. And those two power twins, in a sense, are going to follow me all the days of my life because He loves me. He loves me, so you know what? He's going to show me grace. He loves me, so you know what? He's going to show me mercy. And so the very thing that I deserve, He's not going to allow that to come on me. But He's going to show His grace. His grace is going to overcome my life and overtake my life because of His love toward me. Now, today what I want to talk to you about is the subject of the disability of man. And when I say man, I'm not just talking about the male person, but humanity. So really, the disability of humanity. And we touched on this last week a little bit, kind of gave an example of our disability. But if we are ever going to really see also the things that we want to see God do in our lives, we're going to have to understand that without him, we can't do anything. Without him, listen to this, we are disabled. We are disabled. We can't perform at the level that he requires in order for us to get what he wants us to have. Without him, we can't perform at that level. In fact, that's the whole reason why he sent Jesus. That's the whole reason why Jesus, in turn, when he went back to be with the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit, because we need him. And I don't make light of this word need. This word need, I mean, you cannot live without him. And some of us think the very air that we're breathing right now is because we just do it in and of ourselves. No, you're not breathing by yourself. The very breath, the very air that you breathe, the very lungs that you have to even just breathe that air, it's only through him that we are even able to do that. And the sooner we recognize that, the sooner we recognize that about ourselves, about our lives, then the sooner we'll begin to see God do even more in our lives. When we recognize, Lord, I can't do anything without you. Without you, I'm nothing. In fact, I am handicapped without you, Lord. I'm disabled without you, Lord. And so just like, as I said last week, just like that man that can't walk because he has an ailment on his leg and he needs to depend and he needs to rely on those crutches. And so without those crutches, he can't walk and perform the way he needs to perform. You see that? And so he needs those crutches. What is he doing? He is dependent upon those crutches to walk. He is dependent upon those crutches. He has to rely upon those crutches to get to where he needs to go, to do the things that he needs to do. This disabled man, this handicapped man, he understands that, you know what, I need to keep those crutches right by my bed. I need to depend on those crutches to get to the refrigerator, to eat. I need to depend on those crutches to just do the daily necessities of life. To use the bathroom, I need those crutches. And so likewise, we have to understand that when we trust God, we have to understand that to trust him means to depend on him. Like without him, you can't do anything. To trust God means to rely on him, to lean on him. And when you lean on something, when you're leaning on those crutches to hold up all your weight to get you to where you need to be, you're putting faith in those crutches, that those crutches are strong enough to hold you up. That's what you're doing, right? You're putting faith in those crutches. You're putting trust. You're leaning all your weight upon those crutches. And so that's what we got to do. The sooner we realize that, man, I need to lean all my weight upon God. And I need to depend on him for everything. I need to depend on him to eat my daily bread. I need to depend on him to make it to work today. I need to depend on him to get through this day. But see, what happens is what we do is we get too confident in the flesh. We get too confident in our own ability. We get too confident in our own performance. And that's what happens. But what happens when your ability ceases? What happens when your ability meets its end or meets its limit? Then all of a sudden you realize that you can't do this by yourself. You need him. Right? But what if you had just saw that before you got to the end of your limit? You would have saved yourself time. You would have saved yourself energy. There are many things, almost everything, that all it takes is us depending on him, and then God just does the rest. That's it. He just does everything else. But what he needs is he needs us to just make a decision that I am going to depend on him. And only him. I'm not going to depend on my mom. I'm not going to depend on my daddy. I'm not going to depend on Uncle Joe. I'm not going to depend on the government. I'm not going to depend on my job. I'm not going to depend on this paycheck. I'm going to depend on him. Why? Because without him, I'm handicapped. Without him, I'm disabled. I can't do it without him. So what I want to do is I want to review a little bit of last week and then jump into some new things, okay? The first thing that we have to understand is that grace is our ability. Grace is the ability that we need. Grace gives us the ability that we need to perform at the level that God wants us to perform. So is grace a license to not perform? No. In fact, grace is a license to perform at your best, to perform better than you've ever performed. Now, what do I mean when I say perform? You know, many of us want to please God. Oh, God, I just want to please you, and I just want to do what's right in your eyes, and I just want to love you. Do you know you can't do that without him? You cannot love God. The Bible says for us to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. You cannot love him within your own ability the way he's asked you to love him. You cannot love God without him enabling you to love him. That's what I mean by performance. We're trying to work hard and we're trying to perform within our own ability, within the flesh, doing things within the flesh, doing things by the law of works, the works of the law. And we're trying to do this outside of being in Christ. That's what we're trying to do. But what we have to understand is that I have to stay within him. I have to depend on him in order to just love him. I have to depend on him in order to love other people. I have to depend on him to perform, in a sense, the way that I'm supposed to perform. I have to depend on him in order to love, in order to do what's right, in order to forgive, in order to have mercy, in order to not be in ought towards my brother. I have to depend on him for that. And so we cannot depend on ourselves. We cannot think that, well, I could just do this without him. You know, when we pray, that's letting God know that I need you. I'm dependent on you, Lord. The moment you go days and weeks without talking to God, the moment you go days and weeks without studying your word, without reading your Bible, the moment you go days and weeks without coming to church, guess what you're saying to God? I could do this all by myself, God. In fact, I'm well able. I have the ability to do this without you, Lord. Now, while you may have certain abilities, you still got to recognize that they came from him. While he has given you certain abilities that you can flip the switch and set that on automatic instead of manual, it's still through him that you even have those certain automatic abilities. So many times we think that the alarm clock wakes us up every morning. I know I set my phone for it to wake me up at a certain time, but there are times where that alarm clock doesn't go up, and guess what? I still wake up. Why? Because he gave me that grace to wake up. And that's what it is. When he gives us abilities to do certain things, that's a grace. That's an enablement. And so let's look at another scripture here. Let's go ahead and turn over with me to John chapter 1, verse 17, and let me show you something here. We have to get out of our practice of trying to do things on our own without him. John chapter 1, the book of St. John, look at verse 16. And it says, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So under the law, before Jesus came, we had the law of Moses. And the law of Moses and all of its requirements and all of its rules and policies and everything that it offered, this is what it said. If you do good, you'll get good. If you do bad, you'll get bad. That's what it said under the law of Moses. Under the law of Moses, you literally reap what you sow. Now, do you reap what you sow in today's time? Absolutely. That's a law that will never go away. As long as the earth remains, the Bible says seed, time, and harvest will always remain. However, the grace of God, though, is the thing that interrupts the laws of Moses, the laws of seed, time, and harvest. You reap what you sow. And that's what the grace of God does. It interrupts that. Let me break this down a little bit more so you can understand. Now that Jesus has come on the scene, we are under the grace of God, not under the law of Moses. The laws of Moses are good, but under that law, you got what you deserved. If you did good, you got good. If you did bad, you got bad. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You understand? Under that law. That's what the law of Moses said. But now that Jesus Christ has come and he's fulfilled that, he has brought forth the grace of God, which says this: as long as you stay in him, and as long as you trust in him, and as long as you realize that you are disabled without him and that you can't do anything without him, as long as you depend on him and trust him and believe in him, and believe his word and what he said, you won't get what you deserve. Because the law of Moses says you deserve hell. The law of Moses says you deserve to be sick. The law of Moses says you deserve to die. The law of Moses says you deserve what you sowed for, what you did. But now all of a sudden, when you depend on him, guess what? He can do away with that. He can do away with the consequence of your actions. Now, does that mean, well, we just go ahead and just continue to, you know, do bad actions? No, because the grace of God says that it will teach us how to live godly in this world. So the grace of God is not a license to continue to do bad because you won't get it. In fact, if you continue to do bad, there's no way that you're staying in him, because if you're in him, you won't continue to do bad. If you're continuing to trust and rely on him, you won't continue to do bad. It's an oxymoron. You can't do that. It's impossible. That's why it says in 1 John that whosoever is born of God cannot continue to sin. Why? Because he is in him. It's impossible. You cannot continue to do bad when you are continuing to rely and depend and trust on him. This is where people miss it. They start getting proud in themselves and they start thinking, wow, I got this degree and I got this education and look at all the power that has been given to me. And see, that's really what happened to Satan, what happened to Lucifer. God gave him authority, gave him power, and then he began to think that he was so great that he didn't need God anymore. When the Bible says that we fall from grace, what the Bible is referring to is not necessarily all the sins you've committed or this great big sin that you committed, but what it means is you have fallen from depending on him. You have fallen from depending on him, and now all of a sudden now you are depending on yourself. You're depending on what you can do without him, right? And so while you can do nothing without him, you can do all things through him, because he'll give you strength to do that, right? And so under the law of Moses, you got what you deserve. But under the grace of God is his unmerited favor, his undeserved gifts and love that he bestows on us, even though we don't deserve it, even though we haven't worked for it, even though we've done nothing to grant that to be so in our lives. That's what the grace of God is. Now, let's go ahead and continue to turn over with me to Romans. We're going to look at Romans chapter 4. Now, remember last week we talked about Abraham, right? You all remember that? Romans chapter 4, verse 16. And let's read this and let me just give you some good reminders here. Verse 16 says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And so he says here that verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. So in other words, your faith is the ability that he's already given you in order to take other abilities that he wants you to have. So in other words, the grace of God is what Jesus brought forth when he died on the cross. He brought God's grace. And it's everything you'll ever need within that package of grace. Everything that you'll ever need to be successful, to fulfill the will of God for your life, to do everything that he's called you to do, the grace of God. But your faith is what gives you the ability to take what the grace of God has made available. So I've said this throughout our whole series of love and grace. Grace makes and faith takes. The grace of God has made everything that salvation has brought. But your faith is what allows you to take and to dip into that pool of grace. Remember, we use the example of the fisherman. The fisherman has that pole and he casts that pole into that water. And grace is that sea, that water of everything that we'll need, and your faith is that fishing pole. And so you're taking your faith and casting it out into the deep sea of grace. And so you want a real, you know, whatever you need back in, healing, praise the Lord. Wisdom, praise the Lord. Reel it back in. Good relationships, praise the Lord. Protection, provision, whatever you need, you're reeling it back in with that fishing pole of faith. But the grace is what's made it available. So while we do play a part in it, the Bible says that we didn't work for it. Amen. We did not work for everything that grace has made available. All we simply did was this. This is all we did. Our only part. Believe, depend on him, rely on him, trust in him. That's all we did. And guess what? He does the rest. Amen. And so it's as simple as that. But the hard part is, God, I can't do this on my own. And getting yourself to know that. Let's just be honest. Some of us, we hate depending on other people. We just like to do everything on our own because it gives us more control. A lot of us are just a bunch of control freaks. We just love control. I need to have more control over this because if I have control over it, then you know what? Then I know it'll get done. And we don't like giving that control to God. Because you know what? Here's the thing. We don't really trust him. We don't really trust him, do we? And so we got to build our trust in him. We got to build that in him. And the best way to build our trust in him is to get in this word and to stay in this word. Hear the preaching of the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So the only way I can build my trust and my dependency and my reliance in God is to get in his word, come to church and continue to pray and continue to practice this thing. Amen. Amen. It's only going to come through practice that you learn to rely and to trust in him and depend on him. But here's the thing. If you do not, and if we do not as Christians continue to read the word and study the word and come to church and build our faith up, then we'll continue to rely on ourselves. Because that's the only thing we know how to do. And the moment we say, Lord, I just yield to you, that's trust. That's dependency on him. That's yielding to him. That's reliance on him. That's you taking those crutches and saying, you know what? I mean, just think about it. A handicapped man trying to do everything without his crutches.
You've been listening to So Loved, the radio ministry of Cummings Park Church with Senior Pastor Memphis Lachesson. Cummings Park Church is located in Menlo Park, California, and their mission is a simple one: to demonstrate the unconditional love of God to every individual so that they may be convinced of the great love that God, through Jesus Christ, has for them. The church family meets together every Sunday and again on Wednesday. You're welcome to call for more information at 650-323-1577 or visit CummingsParkChurch.com. As a reminder, So Loved is supported financially by listeners like you. Donations to support this program can be sent to Cummings Park Church, 531 Pierce Road, Menlo Park, California, 94025. Yeah, he loves